to see you. So, last week we discussed the circumstances under which a person can argue with Chazal, the extent to which statements in Agadita and the like are binding and definitive and authoritative. And this led some of you to ask me the following question, which is, how do we relate to Psak in matters of Agadita? Namely, is there such a thing as Psak when it comes to Agadita? Or no, perhaps Psak is something that's only relevant with respect to Halach Lamaisa, but not when it comes to Mili de Agadita. The first source we'll see on this topic is a fascinating paragraph from the Chovos HaLevavos. He writes, Davar HaKasov Ki palei, diber akasov, ki palei mimcha davar l'mishpat v'gomer. Uvas halakonim v'gomer, v'asizak chol asher yerucha v'gomer. So the psukim in the 17th chapter of Sefer Dvarim describe what one should do when there is a matter of uncertainty concerning the law. And it tells us that we should go to the Sanhedrin HaGadol Shebi Yerushalayim, and they will tell us what to do. This, of course, is the basis for the Sanhedrin's authority with respect to matters of the interpretation of the Torah. According to some Rishonim, it's also the basis of their legislative authority. As the Gemara in Shabbos says, the reason why we make a bracha and say Asher Kitchanu B'Tzosav Tivanu for a mitzvah de Rabbanan is based off of Lo Sasser and Vasisa Kol Asher Yerucha. But generally speaking, this is the concept in the Torah of Horah, that when you have a Shaila, you go to a Chacham, and if the Chacham doesn't know, so the Chacham will go to eventually end up in the Sanhedrin HaGadol, and they will paskin the Shaila. And thus the question arises, is this process and procedure relevant also for Mili de Agadita? So the Rabbeinu Bachya writes, V'kasher tizbonin b'mashe kalal ha-pasuk ha-rishon minyanei advarim timtzeim she'elo satrichos chilok v'hagdar b'derach ha-kabbalah v'lo b'derach ha-limud ha-sichli. What does the pasuk say? About what types of things should you turn to Sanhedrin? Bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, Nega la nega. These are matters that relate to Kabbalah. Kabbalah not as in the sense of mysticism, in the sense of tradition. Meaning to say, how is one supposed to know whether this is Dam Tameh or Dam Tahor? It's not something that you could figure out using your Seichel. Rather, it's something that's based off of tradition. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us at Sinai, what's a Nega Tameh, what's a Nega Tahor? And therefore, it's appropriate to go to the Sanhedrin HaGadol to seek a solution. Rei Shechter is fond of referring to the Gra, who notes that these three psukim, dam ladam, these three categories, dam ladam, din ladin, nega lanega, reflect the three categories of halacha, each of which has its own system of hachra. Hincha ro'eh, but lo b'derach alimud hasichli. The way of answering these types of questions is primarily based off of Kabbalah and not based off of intellectual study. Hincha ro'eh shelo hizkir bichlal inyan min ha'inyanim hanisagim b'seichel. Lefi shelo amar im nistapakta b'inyan ha'yichud he'achi. The pasuk doesn't say if you're uncertain concerning the matter of achdus Hashem, uvishmos habore utearav, uviyasod miyasodos hadas. Doesn't say if you have a shaila in machshava, you should go to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. It says, dam ladam din ladin nega lanega. He's taking a certain assumption, especially concerning din, and also generally the role of seichel in Talmud Torah. Maybe we'll get back to that. Shetismoch bohem al ziknei chachmei hadas, v'tish'an al misores kabbalasim dolvad. Ela amar, Pine al tvunascha, vishtamesh besichlacha, bechol hadomeleze, achar shetamod alei mitzad Kabbalah, hakoleles, es kol mitzvos hadas, viyesodav, upratav, v'chakor aleihem b'sich lecha v'habin ascha v'kosher sheyifutecha ad shizbarer lecha nachon v'sbatel ha-batel. So what's the Chovos HaLevavos telling us? A really shocking concept. When it comes to matters of dam ladan, din ladin, nega lanega, things that are primarily relate to the Kabbalah, to the Mesorah, so then we turn to the Sanhedrin Agadol, and there's a need to issue psak. But when it comes to matters of machshava, inyane hadas, and the like, so then we don't necessarily go to the Sanhedrin Hagadol. How is one supposed to arrive at the truth? Use your head, use your brain, figure it out yourself. There's no need for Kabbalah in this case. Now that's somewhat of an exaggeration. He says, when is someone ready to use their head to determine these types of questions? It's after you've received the Kabbalah, meaning to say that the Chovos HaLevavos, like others before him, including Rav Sadia Gaon, maintained that while it's very important to have a tradition when it comes to matters of religion, that's only because it takes a while to arrive at the truth independently. And therefore, we are taught these matters, but subsequently, to the extent that a person is capable of it, they should attempt to prove and understand and derive at these religious concepts, ideas, and machshava using their seichel. And they should use their seichel to arrive at the truth. And therefore, he's saying that there's no such concept as psak when it comes to mili de machshava, mili de agadita. Once a person has reached a certain stature, they've become a Talmud Chacham, they've received the tradition, they're knowledgeable in Torah, so then they can determine the truth on their own. So there's no need for Horah, there's no need for Kabbalah. Like the Rambam writes, the Sanhedrin HaGadol were the Iker of Tarsha Baal Peh, and their means through which the Shalshalas HaMesorah was transmitted. And it's in that capacity that they are needed, but not when it comes to matters of religion. The Rambam writes, actually, in the letter that we read last week, that there are three ways through which we know understanding, we know knowledge. One is through our seichel, two is through our senses, and three is through our intellect. And the Rambam writes, when it comes to each and everything that you know, you have to figure out whether you know it through your seichel, through the senses, or through Mesorah. And when you look at, again, many of the Rishonim, they argue that Seichel is a tool by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to arrive at the truth. It's not just that we're coming up with it on our own. Me'asham yiten chachma mepiv da'as usuna. But nevertheless, again, in matters of doubt, of unclarity, and the like, the Chovos HaLevavos says we should turn to our Seichel to try to figure these things out, and there is no such thing as Psak. It's interesting, because while the Chovos HaLevavos proves his point from the Psukim in Dvarim Yudzayin, and that, in fact, is the simpler reading, the Yerushalmi says otherwise. The Yerushalmi writes, Ki palei mimcha davar l'mishpat, Magid shebimufla shebebeis din akasa medaber, and then the pasuk goes and tells us what each word in a the Gemara tells us what each word in a pasuk means, and it says mimcha ze etza davar zu agada ben dam ledam ben dam nidal, etc. So, according to the Yerushalmi, when the pasuk says davar, you don't know a davar. What's davar? Davar is mili de agadita. The exact opposite of the Chovos HaLevavos. According to the Chovos HaLevavos, the pasuk specifically excludes mili de agadita. The Yerushalmi says no, that just as we turn to the Sanhedrin HaGadol to solve matters of bein dam ledam, dam nida ledam besulim, dam ziva ledam tsaras, so too we turn to the Sanhedrin HaGadol to teach us the truth when it comes to Mili Degadita. The Chovos Alvavos, though, is the simpler reading of the Psukim. It's also the understanding, or conforms with the understanding of the Bavli. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, understands that the word Davar refers to Halacha, as opposed to the Yerushalmi that understands that the word Davar refers to Agadah. So according to the Bavli, no mention is made in the Pasuk when it comes to Mili de Agadita, whereas, of course, it is in the Yerushalmi. And this relates back to topics that we spoke about at the beginning of the year in terms of differences with respect to matters, focuses on philosophy versus focuses on mysticism. Obviously, philosophy is much more intellectually based. Mysticism is much more based off of the Mesorah and tradition and the like. However, Rav Kook has a fascinating take on the dispute between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. This actually is very similar to the idea that we mentioned a couple of weeks ago when we were explaining Ramban's concept of Gan Eden, that Gan Eden is the place for the pinnacle achievement of Chachma, whereas Eretz Yisrael is the place for the pinnacle and of achievement of Nevuah. So the Ramban's idea is really echoed here in Rav Kook. He writes, "V'achiluk hu pashut, the seder limud shehu nismach al shorshei nevuah v'si'ifeha, halachos im ha'agados mis'achdos al yado, v'yesh inyanei kabbalah u'masores b'deos kimo b'ma'asim." Just as we have a tradition when it comes to matters of halacha, practical halacha, what I do, so too we have a tradition with respect to deos, matters of machshava and religion, theology and philosophy. And that is accomplished when the Seder HaLimud rests upon Sharshei HaNevuah U'Si'ifeha. Meaning to say, as we talked about last time, there's two trajectories when it comes to learning. There is learning which is Seichel focused, and there is learning which is Nevuah focused. And when it's Nevuah focused, and this is the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, so then it relates to Inyanei Machshava as well. V'zos hidas Yerushalmi shelo kedas chovos alvavos. This is the view of the Yerushalmi, which states that this is the Das of Yerushalmi that states that Davar, that the authority of the Sanhedrin HaGadol relates to theological and philosophical matters as well. And he says, that's Shaykh to Eretz Yisrael, aval b'seder limud shebechutz la'aretz, she'ena re'uya le'nevuah, u'memela ein anfei ruach ha'kodesh mislachdim im ha'alacha v'nituchaha. Whereas the limud of chutz la'aretz, which doesn't have nevuah, so then there is no connection. Hadeos hinan rak ma she'efsher lahotzi mitoch ha'seichel ha'agyoni. And thus, for someone, for the Torah of chutz la'aretz, so deos, is just what we could intellectually arrive at, what the Chovos HaLevavos presents. Ve'ein l'inyanei ha'agado shaychus lehalacha v'lo shaych aleim lo sasur v'zeh chiluk tava es chosa mahevdal ben ha'bavli l'Yerushalmi. It's unclear what he means in terms of the difference between Bavli and Yerushalmi. Some have pointed out that there's actually more Agadita in Bavli than there is in Yerushalmi. Likely what he means is because the Torah, most of the Agadic material that we have, including the Midrashim, are Torah Eretz Yisrael, and they're from the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. And he's saying that's why there's a more focus on Agadita in among the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. This is also interesting, again, hearkening back on what we discussed earlier concerning the differences between mysticism and philosophy within Judaism, but there's no doubt that the mystical tradition is much more rooted in people living in Eretz Yisrael, whether it's Rishon Bar Yochai or the Ari and others, versus the philosophical tradition, which is much more Chutz La'aretz oriented, Rambam and Rasag, Chovos Alvavos, and the like. Again, there are exceptions, and that's an overgeneralization, but I think to some degree it's true. So Rav Kook continues, L'didan habavli ikar, we call makom l'chol eis, shechadesh Hashem Yisbarach, lev chadash al amo, v'yachzar koach kedushas eretz hakodesh begilui. While it's true that nowadays the Bavli is the ikar, right? The halacha is like the Bavli over the Yerushalmi, Nevuah has not yet been restored, but we hope very soon that it will be restored. And Rav Kook felt that it was beginning to be restored. So at that point, Yigaleh ha'or shel ha'Yerushalmi mitzad signuno ha'katzar v'ha'amok. People are going to start learning Yerushalmi, despite its difficulty, its terseness, and the like. But fakert, that will become the dominant focus. Shemistayeya mimahalech sechel elyon v'ha'gada mikubeles mikuberes bo im ha'alacha b'derech pe'ula nistares. Likewise, Rav Kook here writes in the next source, talking about plans, reviving the Sanhedrin and starting yeshiva to prepare for that and the like. So he writes, "Muvana davar shehora'a shel kol haTorah kolelas gamkein haHora'os haRuchanios shel haDeos vaHamunos." Again, here you see Rav Kook being so same like the Yerushalmi, not surprisingly, that Hora'a includes Hora'a in Deos and Emunos. There's such a thing as Psak when it comes to these matters. V'alze bevadai niyatzricham liyaseid yisod musad shel kvios limud shere yeshnam kama talmidi chachamim geonim behalachom yikal makom enim yodim es hamikto haikariba Torah nogel deos emunos elo yedios shitchios. We have to establish a yeshiva that teaches these things, because there are many people that are gaonim in matters of halacha, but they are ignorant when it comes to matters of thought. It's ironic, because the person who made this case perhaps more forcefully than anyone else is the Chovos Alvavos. If you read his introduction, he criticizes people that focus too much on halacha and lamdus and don't focus enough on religious thought. Of course, his perspective was different, as we just saw. So the way Rav Kook understands the machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi is that it concerns the role of seichel versus nevuah and intuition and the like. Perhaps, though, we could suggest a different understanding of the nekudas machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. And that is, it relates to two different conceptions of the role of Hora'a. There's a general question that when you study halacha, you have to ask. This relates to, what does it mean, lasuke shmaita taliba dehilchasa? One understanding is that Hora'a is very practical. Hora'a is, how do I know what to do halacha l'maisa? There's a machlokas in the Gemara, there's a machlokas in the Rishonim. Practically, what do I do? How do I know what to do? That's where Hora'a comes in. Another possibility is that no, Hora'a is not just practical, but it's a chefetz shel Torah. It's an attempt to arrive at the truth. It's not just a means of figuring out what practically I should do, but it's part of Talmud Torah. That's what Lasuke Shemaita Taliba Delcha says. If you look at Halachic Man, Ish Halacha, the Rav presents two ways to understand that phrase, Lasuke Shmaita Taliba Dilchasa. That's the phrase that's always used to encourage people to learn Halacha L'maisa. So he says it might mean, practically, that means you have to know Halacha L'maisa, or it might mean that you have to take the Lamdus to its final conclusion. It doesn't mean you have to know what to do practically. It means that I learn a Sugya, and I learn Shitas HaRitzvah, and I'll figure out, what would the Ritzvah say to do Halach L'maisa? And I learn the Ramban, and I figure out the Lamdus of the Ramban, and once I know the Lamdus of the Ramban, I could figure out what the Ramban would say, what to do Halach L'maisa. What do I do Halach L'maisa? Chveis Nisht. I have to look in the Mishnah Berurah for that. But that's what Lasuke Shmaita Taliba Dilchasa. Of course, the Pasha Pshat is not that way. So, this might be, by the way, the Pshat in the Machlokas concerning Hilchas HaLemashicha. In two places in Shas, the Gemara discusses a halachic matter, and the Gemara asks, or it's specifically actually Rav Yosef who asks, Hilchas HaLemashicha, what do you need a pasuk in this halacha? It's not nogeya nowadays. It comes up in Zvachim concerning Pigol, where Rav Yosef asks on Rabba Baravua, Hilchas HaLemashicha, and Abaye says, what do you mean? We shouldn't learn Kachim? And he says, no, I don't mean you shouldn't learn Kachim. Of course you should learn Kachim. But what do you need to be Koveya Psak? And a similar discussion appears in Sanhedrin concerning certain halachos relating to Chiyuvei Mises Beisdin. And yet, the Rishonim all point out that there are many places in Shas where we seem to be concerned with halacha, lemaisa, paskening the halacha that isn't actually relevant nowadays, and the Gemara doesn't seem to be bothered. And there are a number of answers in the Rishonim. So according to one answer in Tosvos in Zvachim, all the places where we actually do consider halacha lemaisa, there actually is some type of halacha nafkamina bizman hazeh. It's not always the direct case being dealt with, but there's a practical ramification. In other words, according to that answer in Tosvos, lemaisa we accept this notion of Hilchas HaLemashicha, and if there's no practical halacha lemaisa application, we taka will not solve it. Reb Chaim Cohen in Tosfos gives a different answer. He says, no, we only ask the kasha when, besides not being relevant, there's also an isser involved, because b'mos HaMashiach we won't do isurim. According to another answer in Tosfos, there is in fact a machlokas, meaning to say, yes, it's the view of Rav Yosef that we don't paskin Hilchas HaLemashicha, but that's not the view of all the Amoraim. And Adaraba, perhaps the dominant position is that we do paskin Hilchas HaLemashicha. And look at the Rambam, right? The Rambam paskined all of the Hilchas HaLemashicha. So what's the machlokas? So I think I once heard from Rabbi Tursky that the machlokas is whether Horah, whether Psak, is a Cheftza Shel Torah. The position, whether it's the position among the Amoraim or a position among the Rishonim that maintains that we don't paskin Hilchas HaLemashicha, holds that Psak is very practical, as Rashi and Zvachim writes, Kivua Halacha Eina Ela Lahoros Halacha Lemaisa. So if there's no Halacha Lemaisa, we don't need a paskin it. Whereas those Amoraim and those Rishonim who maintain that we do paskin Hilchas HaLemashicha maintain that Horah is a Chafetz Shel Torah. It's something that we want to figure out even beyond its practical ramifications. Now, if that's correct, perhaps along similar lines, we can understand the Machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, or the Chovos Halvavos versus others that we'll see shortly. The position of the Bavli, of the Chovos Halvavos, is not exactly the Chovos Halvavos necessarily, let's say the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. The position of the Bavli is that that Psak is Lemaisa, like Rashi said, like the view that says we don't paskin Hilchas HaLemashicha. We have to figure out what to do. So Memela, if there's a Machlokas with no Nafkamina, no practical difference. It's a matter of agadita. So then, we don't necessarily have to be machria, because Horah and Psak Halach is about figuring out what to do practically, and there's not necessarily a practical difference. Now, that doesn't mean to say, and we'll clarify this point later, that there's never practical applications to disputes concerning mili de agadita and deos and the like. There might be, and we'll return to that point shortly. But it's certainly the case that with respect to many disputes in Mili Dagadita, there isn't a practical nafkamina. And therefore, the Bavli holds there's no need for Horah, because Horah is about figuring out what to do practically. Whereas the Yerushalmi understands, no, Kipalei Davar Mimcha Davar, when you have a Shaila and Mili Dagadita as well, you go to the Sanhedrin HaGadol Shel Yerushalayim. Why? Because Horah is a Chetz of Torah. It's not just about figuring out practically what to do, but it's about arriving at the truth. And if so, So there's a role for Sanhedrin. There's a role of Horah in Milia Diagadita. Along similar lines, there's a very famous dispute. Maybe we'll have a chance to return to a deeper understanding of this later in the year when we discuss the concept of Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. But we know the Gemara says in a couple of places, in Erevin, for example, concerning the disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, but Halacha Kedivrei Beis Hillel. And the question is, what does this mean? If both of them are true, if both of them are equally true, both of them are Divrei Elokim Chayim, so then why is it that Halacha is like Beis Hillel? What does that mean? And generally speaking, there are two approaches to understanding this concept. If Be'ezus Hashem, we have a chance to return to this sugya later on in the year, I'll suggest a third mahalich. But the two general approaches are literally Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Both the view of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are Divrei Elokim Chayim. They're both equally true. There's a possibility of multiple truths, even perhaps when they seem irreconcilable and mutually exclusive to us. And therefore, Beis Shammai is not any less correct than Beis Hillel. Mamish, Divrei Elokim Chayim. That might explain sources to the extent that they exist, that we paskin like Beis Shammai lost in Lavo. Because Beis Shammai is equally true. So why is it Halacha Kedivrei Beis Hillel? Because Beis Hillel was the Rav, Ayin B'Yavamos, for exactly the parameters of that resolution. But the point is, Halacha doesn't mean to say that Beis Hillel is more correct. The Halacha isn't attempting to figure out which position is more correct. It's very practical. What are you going to do, Lamaisa? You can't have a situation where everybody's doing whatever they want, everybody's doing a different thing, and therefore the Torah told us, Acher Rabin Lahatos, when you have a machlokes, you have to figure out how to be kove the halacha, a single halacha which everybody could observe, ki palei davar mimcha, lemishpat ben dam ledam ben din ledin ben naga lenaga v'kamta v'alisa l'makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha bo, and you ask them what to do, and they will vote, and Acher Rabin Lahatos, you'll follow the majority ruling, and that's the halacha. Halacha is like Beis Hillel. But it doesn't mean that Beis Hillel is more true or more Divrei Elokim Chayim than Beis Shammai. Two places where you see this concept articulated. One is the famous Ritva in Erevin, quoting from the Chachmei Tzarfas, who ask, page 2, Eyach Efshar Sheyehu Shneim Divrei Elokim Chayim V'zeu Sevzeh Matir V'tirtzu Kiksha'ala Moshe Lamarom Lakabel Torah Heru Lo Al Kol Davar V'Davar Mem Tes Panim L'Isra Mem Tes Panim L'Hater. We always think that Moshe went up to Shemayim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him the Torah. No, rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him 49 Stadim L'Hakel and 49 Stadim L'Hachmir. Oh, V'Shala HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Zeh. What's going on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Amar Shehei Zemasur L'Chachmei Yisrael Shebuchal Dor Vador V'Yehachra Kimosam. This idea of the Chachmei Tzarfas is in fact a Mefurish Yerushalmi, which is below. In fact, Yerushalmi understands that Moshe complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said to him, Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hodieni Heyachi Halacha, what are you showing me all these possibilities? You go to some shiur and they say, well, one possibility this way, one possibility that way. So that's what shiur was like at Har Sinai. And Moshe complained. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, tell me the bottom line. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond? That's up to you. The bottom line is what the Chachmei Yisrael B'chol Dor V'Dor vote on. Now, this doesn't mean that we say this about everything. It's pashut, that there are many truths and definitive proofs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Sinai. It wasn't just a sheer klali with a lot of possibilities. As one of my wife's teachers said, we say, Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. It doesn't mean, Elu V'Elu 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 Divrei Elokim Chayim. But nevertheless, there is this concept that yes, it's possible that there are two positions and they're both MS. Equally MS, in the sense that they both come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, this Yerushalmi, we don't have time to be marchiv on it, but it's a very important makor. The Yerushalmi begins this discussion by saying that Ilu nitna haTorah chatucha lo haisa l'regel amida. If the Torah was given in clear-cut decisions, so then it couldn't be the eternal document that relates to us in every generation. That's one understanding of Elu v'Elu. Others say that that doesn't make any sense. How could that be? It's either Tami or it's Torah. What, really? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell Moshe what to do? One position, these positions are mutually exclusive, and one has to be more correct. If you look, for example, at the Drash of Saran on page 3, Shemeachar shehachra'as haTorah nimsira lahem b'chayehem v'sichlam haya mechayev l'tamei haya min arawi shiyya tamei af al pishu hefech min ha'emes shekein mechayev seichel hanoshi v'ashar. He's referring, of course, to the famous story of Tanur Shel Achnai, where Rabbi Eliezer was Metaher, and Chachamim were Metameh, and Rabbi Eliezer brought all sorts of miracles, and even a baskol that supported his position. The Chachamim responded, Ein mashkichim bebaskol, miracles don't paskin halacha. And since it appears to us, using our seichel, that you're incorrect, and we are in the majority, then we're going to rule against you. And Ki Yadua, the Gemara concludes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shamayim was saying, Nitzchuni vanai, Nitzchuni vanai, Torah is lo v'shamayim hi, achari rabim lahatos. So the Ran explains, V'ashar, afal pisha omim emes, in ru'uyin lasos maisa kein b'divrei Torah, k'mosha lo tiru ba'al mach l'koso shabalazar, afal pisha nitna aleim baskol min ha'shamayim, shehalocha kidvarav. The Ran explains, this quote doesn't quite capture it, it's a little too short. The Ran explains that the truth of the matter is that one position is more true than the other position. Of course, there's an aspect of truth to both positions, and that's what's meant by Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. There's an argument that could be made for both sides, and Makoros that could be cited from Torah for both positions. But nevertheless, one true position is more true than the other. The conclusion of Tanur Shel Achnai is that there's halachic autonomy, and the Torah is given to Bnei Adam to understand using their seichel to the best of their ability, and such that even if theoretically the other position is more MS, since the position that our seichel, or the seichel of the majority of Chachamim, dictates, says that it's Tameh, so that's the halacha, the kviyas halachas follows that. This idea, again, we don't have time now, is elaborated on the Hakdama to the Ktos HaChoshen, which he cites below. But the idea is that, yes, there is truth to both positions, but they're not equally true. And the attempt to figure out the halacha is really the attempt to figure out the truth. Take a look at the source below, the Maharal and Baragola. V'amar Bali Asufos, here the Maharal is explaining the Gemara at the beginning of Chagigah and Daf Gimel, that describes how a person sometimes enters the Beis Medrash and they hear the Metamim and the Metarim, the Osrin and the Matirim, they're overwhelmed. Right? What do I do? And the Gemara says, no, kulam nitnu mirawa achas. Rather, you should make your ear like an afar chases and try to understand. You need a lev shomea. You need to be able to understand both positions. But on the end of the day, the Maharal says, we have to be kovei halacha. And what does this mean? Peirush. Ki yefshar yedas hachachamim al derech echad. It's naturally impossible that all the chachamim will come to a single conclusion. V'yefshar shelo yiyah chiluk b'neim kefi ma shehem mechulakim b'sichlam. Because all people are different, k'shem shepatsufeim einam shavim kach deoseim einam shavim. Everybody looks differently. Everybody thinks differently. And therefore, naturally, they're going to come to different understandings of the Torah. ki kol davar v'davar i'efsher shelo yiyeh b'china yoser me'achas l'davar achad. Things are complex, and therefore there will be a b'china of tumah, even if in the end of the day this particular chefta might be tahor, and likewise the reverse. And that's what the position, it says Tahor sees. So therefore, naturally, people are going to look at the same thing differently, and one person will see the tame aspect, or as see the tame aspect as dominant, and another person, another chacham, will see the tahor aspect as dominant. Their diversity doesn't prevent them from working together, from helping each other. There's a beautiful piece from Rav Kook. We say very frequently that Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. And Rav Kook says, it's very schwer. What do you mean? Talmidei Chachamim, they're always arguing. Every sugya, machlokas tanai, machlokas amorai, machlokas rishon, machlokas achron, machlokas aposkim, wherever you look, machlokas, 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 what do you mean they're marbim shalom ba'olam? Two Jews, three opinions. And it's true even in Torah. So what's going on? So he says, no. Shalom doesn't just mean the absence of conflict. Shalom comes from the word shlemos. And shlemos is achieved when you see all the different facets. If you only saw one position, if we didn't learn the machlokas, if we didn't learn the havaminas, if we just learned Rambam without the nosi kelim, right? We just found out the bottom line. So we wouldn't see the total picture. Our picture would be incomplete. If everybody's saying the same thing, that might indicate a lack of machlokas, but it doesn't indicate shalom, because there's no shlemus. Shlemus is achieved when everybody looks at the matter, each one presenting their own perspective, seeing a different bechina. Because, like the Maharal is saying here, there are different bechinos. Even if something is tame, it has a bechina sheltar. Even if it's tahor, it has a bechina shel tameh. V'kasher misasvim yesh bahem b'chol adeos hamachlokos. The Maharsha writes, that's why Yutaka, it's so important to learn b'chavrusa. So, they get together, they're misasvim, they join together, they debate, yes, no, yes, no. But, in the end of the day, there's halach l'maisa. Rak, top of page 4, le'inyan halach l'maisa, ein safek sha'echad yoser ikur min hasheni. While there are different bechinos, one is Yoser Iker. They're not equally true. K'maisa Hashem, af adavar, af ki adavar murkav, mikol makom, ein ze k'mo ze. If you have an object that is a compound, so it's made up of two different elements, but one is more dominant, and that's going to determine the tzura. Rak kol echad yoser ikar. Kulam nitnu me'Hashem yizbarach. Rak kol echad mehem yoser. Ki echad mehem yoser ikar. V'hu machriya. V'hu alacha. Mikol makom. So once that's true, you might say, what do I do? Al tomar ki davash enu ikar enu nechshav klum. Don't say, once one is more ikar, so what do I need to bother studying the other opinion if we don't paskin that way? Ze'enu. Ki ashomea kol adeos have a hisig adavar kefima sheyesh ledavar bechinas meschalfos. You want to have a true, total understanding, you have to see the different opinions. Vare lamad Torah kefima shu adavar sheyesh lo bechinos meschalfos. Rak le'inyan halacha echad machriya al hasheni. So returning to our question, what is psak? So we see here again, not that this is the exact same idea, but I think there's an overlap, a parallel, which is that there's a dispute. What is halacha l'maisa? What is psak? Is psak a hora'a that tells us what to do practically, or is it trying to arrive at the truth? If you take the Ritva Mahalich of Elu Ve'elu Div Elokim Chayim, that both positions are equally true. So then, it's mistaber that we only need to be machriya halach lamaisa if there's a need. Elu Ve'elu Div Elokim Chayim Bisham Beisil are equally true. So when there's a practical difference, so then we'll say, okay, halacha k'divrei Beis Hillel. But if not, there's no need to be machriya. Whereas if you take the approach of the Ran or the Maral or the like, who assume that's not the case, that one position might be more true than the other, so then perhaps there is an inyan of being machriya even when it comes to mili de'agadita, even if there isn't a practical application. I see there's some questions. I'm going to take your questions, Bli Nader, but just before, I'd like to just turn for a moment to the Rambam's position, because I think there's a lot of confusion on this matter. The Rambam famously writes in several places that there's no such thing as psak and halach lamaisa. Here's one of them on the bottom, on page 4 towards the top. V'kfar marti l'cha lo pam she'im nechleku chachamim be'eza hashkafa v'deya she'ein tachlisa maisa min ha'maisim hare'ein lomar sham halacha keploni. Seems to be saying when there's no practical nafkamina, so we don't say this halacha l'maisa. He says this again if you look in footnote 19 concerning in Shavuos. That was from a Sota in Shavuos where there's a discussion what type of avera gets kapara through what type of karban. He writes again, umachloku ein lomar bahalacha k'divrei ploni lefishu davar maser lashem yisromem v'yishader v'hem nechleku b'rayos v'limudos v'lemedos mipsukim she'en makom zem matim lahazkir bo darke limudam bahem v'kfar biyarnu shekol svara min asvaru she'en b'maisa min ha'maisim she'nechleku b'chachamim lo nemar halacha k'ploni. And finally, the most famous place where he says this in the Perashah Mishnayos in Sanhedrin and also actually in Shavuos. In Sanhedrin, he says it in Parakah Chelak. So this concept is sometimes cited as an indication that when it comes to philosophical matters, theological matters, issues that relate to Ikari Emuna and the like, that we don't need a paskin, and there's room for plurality, because it's only with respect to halachic matters that we need to paskin. But when it comes to theological matters and matters of deos, so the Rambam just told us that we don't need a paskin. In a sense, it's very similar to the view that we saw earlier in the Chovos Halvavos. However, the truth of the matter is that this isn't so simple, because the Rambam, in fact, does paskin many issues concerning deos, especially when it comes to matters concerning Ikari Emuna. Hence, the Rambam writes in his Hakdama to Perka Chelek that there are Yud Gimel Ikari Emuna, that if a person believes in them, so then they're Jewish, and if not, so then to some degree they're not. They are expelled. They don't have a Shem Yisrael. And they're practical nafkaminas in terms of Moridin Ve'en Malin, in terms of whether they're Shechitas Kshera, in terms of whether the wine that they touched is mutter, in terms of the kashas of the tefillin that they wear, and so on and so forth. There are many, many nafkaminas. And the Rambam paskins these halachos. He paskins them in Hilchos Tshuva and many other places. So the Rambam clearly is not saying that when it comes to matters of theology, there's no such thing as psak. Because there is such a thing as psak. So what's he saying? The answer is that when it comes to things that are relate to Ikari Emuna, so there's halachic nafkaminas. And then, among other things, Yitaka Haftapaskin. And there are halachic ramifications. The Gemara tells us that Sefer Tarshakasu Min is puzzle, so we have to know what a Min is. The Gemara tells us that there are certain heretics for which their halachic status is Morid and Vein Malin, so we have to know what that heretic is. And there are different nafkaminas, and some of them might not apply nowadays. Earlier in the year, we referred to the Chazon Ish that discusses the limitation of certain types of halachos, like a Morid and Vein Malin. But either way, there's halacha lemaisa. We have to know what's the psak. And the Rambam didn't make this up. The Gemara says these halachos, all these come from Shas. So when the Rambam tells us that you don't have to be machriya lahalacha when it comes to mili de'agarita, that doesn't mean with respect to all mili de'agarita lafuke halacha lamaisa. No. When there's a nafkamina, you have to decide. What types of things does he say we don't paskin? So if you look at the types of things, these are things that don't have any practical implications. Let's say the case in Sanhedrin. There's a dispute in the Mishnah whether Dor HaMidbar Yeshlam Chelak L'Olam Haba or Ein Lo Chelak L'Olam Haba. So, or whether they're Omdim Bedin. So Rabbi Akiva says, we learn from Bamidbar Zayitamu V'Sham Yamusu that they don't. Rabbi Blazer says, Aleim HaKasav Omer Isfuli Chasidei Karse Brisai Ale Zavach. So now, there's no nafkamina whether Dor HaMidbar Yeshlam Chelak L'Olam Haba or Ein Lo Chelak L'Olam Haba. It's about that that the Rambam says, okay, so we don't need to paskin Halacha L'Maisa. But when it comes to matters that do have practical implications, so then the Rambam very clearly tells us that we do have to be kovei halacha. If you want a brief mar makom on that, the Rabbi Gil student in his review essay of Mark Shapiro's book, which is a brief paragraph from that is cited here on page 4, makes this very point. And he argues that Shapiro's book, which in many ways is based off of the assumption that there could be diversity when it comes to Ikari Emuna, because the Rambam tells us there's no nafkamina, is really a total misreading of the Rambam. Because Adarabba, the Rambam does paskin these things, right? Paskins that they're Ikari Emunah, Yud Gimel Ikari Emunah, and he says that if you don't have these Yud Gimel Ikari Emunah, then you're a kofer, and all that entails. And again, Be'ezras Hashem, later on, we'll have a chance to elaborate on what the Ikari Emunah are, and what if you don't believe, and what if you don't believe because of mistakes in your learning, and the Machlokas Rambam and Ravid, and how you deal with Tinuk Shinishba. Be'ezras Hashem, we'll get to all that. But as this review essay shows, and really when you read the Rambam carefully, it becomes obvious that the Rambam does not mean to say that there's no such thing as psak when it comes to matters of theology. One last final ha'ara in the Rambam, a small ha'ara, which relates to the shir that we had last week, and then I'll take your questions. So I saw that in Rabbi Meiselman's new book on science and Torah, so he argues very strongly that there is such a thing as psak in mili de'agadita within Shitas HaRambam. And one of the proofs that he brings are the sources that we saw last week, which is, we saw last week that the Rambam says about many matters that this view is a minority view, but the majority view is something else. So when the position that said Al-Kanti Po Yagiru Achamecha is a Das Yachid, and we paskin like the other view, or the statements in Chazal that seem to argue that there's such a thing as astrology are a minority position, but we accept the majority position. We saw four examples of that. So he says, you see from here that the Rambam accepts that fundamentally we follow Rov when it comes to Hashkafic matters as well. So that's a very, a questionable raya, because it would be one thing if the Rambam went ahead and showed us that Taka, this is Rov Chachamim. But the Rambam doesn't really show us that it's Rov. In other words, if you're going to apply majority and minority, you have to show it. In all these cases, the Rambam argues that it's the majority position because of other statements in Chazal. But it's not the pshat that we have like an Amida Laminyan and we're counting up, the Rambam's counting and say, oh, this is the halacha follows the Rov, and this is the Rov. More often than not, it's the more compelling position that logically the Rambam shows that it's rooted in Chazal in many places, but the way in which he comes to the conclusion and even recognizes that the majority position is at odds with particular statements is certainly very different than the way that he comes to conclusions when it comes to matters of psak. So while I definitely think it's true that the Rambam does hold, as we've said, that there is such a thing as kviyas halacha when it comes to matters of theology and the like, it also should be recognized that there are differences between the nature of psak when it comes to mili de'agadata, and also, I think even more importantly, when it comes to how we arrive at psak. And this brings us back to where we started with, which is the Chovos Halvavos. The Chovos Halvavos maintained, perhaps against the Rambam, perhaps not, but the Chovos Halvavos maintained that the reason why there's no Hora when it comes to Mili De'agadata, why we don't go to the Sanhedrin HaGadol, is because these are matters which we could use our Seichel to arrive at the truth. And when it comes to the Rambam's position, as we saw last time, Seichel plays a extraordinarily important role when it comes to understanding matters of theology. As we showed last week, it's not the only factor, and we do have Hachna'a and his Batlos to Divrei Chazal, but nevertheless it's also true that Seichel plays a much larger role when it comes to matters of theology, matters of philosophy, and in that sense it's Seichel that, among other things, shows us what's the majority opinion. And in that sense, there is a difference between, even within the Rambam, certainly, between matters of halacha and matters of machshava. And at the same time, again, we have to consider Rav Kook's critique of the Chovos Halvavos, which could be equally applied to the Rambam, which is that when one has a broader Mesorah in these types of matters, when their Kabbalah is more extensive, so then that too changes and affects the conclusions. Okay, number of questions. Go ahead.
First thing, one thing in terms of Rambam being posted like matters of theology, I think from my memory, all of the examples in terms of a person who comes in mean are a person who is Ha'omer, meaning someone.
Yeah, you made that point last time when we talked about this in the first semester.
I guess this is close to the Chovos Halvavos shita, is that if a person personally had his own thoughts, but wasn't spreading them, that wouldn't necessarily make it.
Yeah, I don't think that's a correct reading of the Rambam. If you look at the Hakdama to Perish HaMishnayis, the Hakdama to Perek Chelek, it's clear that he's not that. He says Ha'ola Val Machshavto several times. He doesn't just say Ha'omer. It's explicit. He says Kol Ha'ol Al Das when he talks about the mitzvah of Amunah, V'chol Ha'ol Al Daito, that he has, that he's not one or that he's a goof or the like. So he's violation of Anochi, and he's a min. I don't know. He does say Ha'omer many times, but he certainly doesn't only say Ha'omer. I don't think that's it.
Also, in terms of the machlok between the Ritva's Yovel and the Maharal and others, according to either one, you would say theoretically. Let's say someone was a Chacham or someone was a Gadol Batorah, mm-hmm. is not theoretically must be correct in what he's saying. You know, according to either one, there could be another truth, or there could be another way of understanding or reaching the truth. So
mm-hmm.
Either way, you would say Gadol Batorah could be mistaken and is not necessarily correct?
Right, you're correct that they don't address that issue. Whether that's true or not true is a different issue. It's one that has to be considered, but I think you're correct that their statements don't relate to that point. Right? He's not discussing whether a Chacham could make a mistake. They're discussing a different aspect, which is Elu V'Elu. Then you're correct, so you have to consider does that possibility exist? And in fact, they discuss that matter. The Ran asks that question, how do you know that they've come to the correct conclusion? Number of Rishonim address that point, why both maybe in general and specifically the majority. How could you be confident that the majority is true? Once you adopt the Ran's position on Elu V'Elu, that one position is more correct than the other, so why don't I have to be choshesh that the majority position is actually the wrong position? And the Ran gives an answer, Ran says that the benefit that you get from following the Divrei Chachamim in the mitzvah of Lo Sasam and Adav Sheyagid Lecha and Vasisa Kol Sheyrucha outweighs the harm that will come from any possibility of error that results in following their position. The Sefer Achinuch gives a different answer. He says that it's true, there's a chance, but one is better off in a, you need a system of determining the bottom line. Other Rishonim have different answers. The Ramban, and this gets back to your question, the Ramban says no, they're mevadin es ha'emes mitoch ruach ha'kodesh ha'bekirbam, that there's going to be siyata d'shmaya. The Ramban says that in his comments on Bava Basra, where he talks about Chacham Adif Minavi, in Sefer HaMitzvos, in his Perush al HaTorah and Dvarim, that there's going to be siyata d'shmaya, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches the Chachamim, and even though it's true, Lo b'shamayim hi, that means that they arrive at the truth using their intellect, but nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashgiach, so, and directs them and guides them so that the conclusion or their conclusions, at least the conclusion of the majority, won't be correct. Won't be incorrect. Rashba is a different approach. So it's a very good question. It's a different question. Related question, but definitely not the same question. And again, it's maybe another time we'll have a chance to explore that question as well. Yes? Who wrote? This is from Gil Student.
Okay. The second thing is, according to the idea that there is a psaki machshava, how would that be determined? Like, what would be the framework?
So, the Pashup Pshat is that you would follow similar types of rules, like Rov. Even when it comes to, again, maybe when we have a chance to talk about Ikari Amuna, we could elaborate about this, but even when it comes to Ikari Hadas, the Chassam Sofer and others have suggested that there are times that when a matter is debated and therefore the halacha isn't nikba, but once this becomes a dominant position, it is the halacha, and that will change one's status with respect to minus and the like.
What does the Chavos HaRoros suggest to do before you receive the Kabbalah when it comes to matters of death?
So then you learn. In other words, like Rav Sadia Gaon and others say, the first stage in one's development is to learn. I wouldn't say learn and don't think, and then later think and don't learn. That's not really like that. But no, in other words, initially in one's education, if you start thinking too much before you actually have the basics, so then you'll come to errors. And you won't be doing the right thing during the process. So one's initially is more misora focused and the like. No, at the first stage, you're makabel what Ikari Amunah are. How do I know what the Ikari Amunah are? I read the Rambam, and I say Ani Mamin, and that's the Ikari Amunah, and I come to it from tradition. And then I get older, and I get smarter, and I learn more, and so then I prove them. And I know them through Seichel. Yes?
Two questions. First question is based off the ritual in Eruvin, is that I don't understand. He ends off saying that, and therefore Hashem gave us the ability to choose. But the Gemara in Eruvin straight up says the Batkol came out and said halacha is like if
so. That's a general question, which again we don't have time to talk about. But all the Rishonim point out, what do you mean in Mashgiach and Bebaskol, and how do you know? And it seems like the Ikar reason we paskin like Beis Hillel is because they're the majority, and how the Baskol relates to that is an issue dealt with by the Rishonim, which we don't have a chance to address. But even if you look at Tosfos in there and elsewhere, you'll see it addressed.
Second question. Also, is it possible for Batkol to soter Basmol? Because we said that the machloki between, we first said that halacha is like Beit Hillel according to one Batkol. And the second Batkol came on and said with the whole machloki between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. But the Gemara, for instance, in Shabbat that we're doing Kol Seder, says, at least according to Tosafot, that Rabbi Eliezer, what is Shamuti? Who? It means that he's a Beit Shammai. So how could a Batkol paskin like Beit Shammai? And yet another time it says that halacha.
Where did the Batkol paskin like Beit Shammai? I don't understand.
It says with halacha.
Oh, halacha of Lazar B'chol Makom. I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah. The answer is each one of them was presenting a different aspect. In other words, the way that the Ritva, that the Ran understands when it says that halacha Rabbi Elazar is that his position was closer to the truth. But at the same time, the halacha is like Beis Hillel because they're the majority. Also, Shamute and being a Talmud of Beis Shammai isn't the same thing as Beis Shammai. There are actually halachic differences. For example, do you paskin like them b'shas adchak and the like? Not for now.
Okay.
It's a complex question. All right. Last point that we have. I'm sorry, I have to end. You know what? Looks like I have to end now. So why don't you ask me personally? And do we have Shir next week?